Okay, let's see. Laurel's calling us from, or Laura, excuse me, Laura is calling us from Bothell. What's on your mind, ma'am?
Well, I have a couple things. One is my elderly father. He's 85. He has been having a lot of shortness of breath, just with minimal activity. And I should say that he's got a lot of other issues going on. First of all, he's a veteran, was exposed to Agent Orange when he was in Vietnam, and has a bunch of issues, you know, related to that. He's had a really strange tissue cancer related to that. He's got sarcoidosis. He's got this chronic kidney disease. He's always in like three. He's always hovering around three. And then he's got this hypercalcemia syndrome, and he's overweight. I don't know if I said that, but the doctors have done all kinds of tests on him. They've done cardiac function tests and all kinds of things. They said he's normal. In fact, they just put him on nitroglycerin to see if that would help, a daily dose of nitroglycerin. It hasn't done a thing. So I just wanted to maybe just see what you had to say about it.
I'm sorry he's got so many things going on that he has to battle health-wise, ma'am. Sorry. Yeah, I'm wondering about one thing that sometimes gets neglected, and that is, of all things, checking the serum testosterone and free testosterone. Has that been done?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, you might want to check into that because it does get ignored quite a lot unless somebody specifically asks about it. Now, why am I mentioning testosterone for one's lungs? Well, not really. What's not widely known is that men's bodies do take a little bit of their testosterone and turn it into estrogen. And if we didn't, we would be extremely unhealthy from the time we go into puberty. That's it. A little bit of estrogen is necessary for lots of things around the body. Now, it's not near as much estrogen as is present in a woman's body. That's another story. But even so, there has to be some testosterone available to turn into estrogen. And if our testosterone levels are really low, then we're going to be short on even the guy-sized portion of estrogen. Now, why am I bringing that up? Because the Lung Research Institute at Georgetown University has flat-out proven that estrogen is totally essential for normal lung function for women. Well, you'd expect that. They never did study the guys. But the odds are very high that a little bit of estrogen is essential for a guy's lung function. And for women, it did so darn well that it can actually, well, let me tell you about a lady we were working with. And she went from being a mall walker, where you have to go from one chair in the mall to the next chair in the mall. She went from doing that to being able to walk a lot further just when she got her estrogen levels up. So it did take 3 or 4 months to really take hold, but still, get back to him. I'd measure his testosterone, serum testosterone, free testosterone. If his free testosterone is low, then if you're working with doctors skilled, knowledgeable in natural medicine, yeah, they'll prescribe it. But again, it's not being prescribed for the usual reason that guys want their testosterone higher, you know, more massive muscles and stuff. It's being prescribed because if it's low, then he's probably not getting enough estrogen for his lungs. So there you
go. Gotcha. Now, could he take it like a plant estrogen, a topical, or would that...
No, that's not going to do the same job. It has to be molecularly identical to human estrogen, and those are close, but they're not exactly the same.
Okay, that's interesting. I will throw that by him for sure. And then I had one more thing, and I recently had my lipid panel done, and historically I've always been high cholesterol. I mean, for years and years and years. I've been on a low-carb diet, and it's always high, and my HDL is always high, and the doctors get all up in arms about it, and I just, you know, kind of ignore it. But now I'm 58, and recently had my lipids done, a lipid panel. My overall cholesterol was 288. I had triglycerides. I think they were 83.
Which is pretty good for triglycerides.
Yep, and my HDL was 87.
Ooh, nice.
And then my LDL was 187 or something like that, 176. You know, it was high. I mean, you know, my poor naturopathic doctor who already knows I'm on bioidentical hormones. I mean, I don't think she sleeps at night because of that. But she just almost had a fit. You know, here I am. And I just said, I'm really not going to worry about it. But she's all worried about it, wants me to recheck it in a month and then put me on statin drugs, which I'm not going to do. But I just wanted your opinion. I've also been doing the niacinamide, and I think the niacinamide is supposed to raise your HDL as well. Is that correct?
Yes, but not as much as niacin. Niacin raises them even more. But your HDL is quite healthy if it's in the 80s, man.
Yeah. I tended to think that that lipid panel was just fine.
Well, here's another reason it's fine, ma'am. There's a great big study of cholesterol done back east a while ago, and what they found is that the absolute numbers are not near as important as the ratios. Now, the ratio, cholesterol divided by the HDL, is one of the so-called controlling ratios. And if that son of a gun is below 5, and yours definitely is, because you had a 280 or something on your total cholesterol, and you had an 80-something with your HDL, and that's 3-point-something or other to 1, and that's well below 5. And what they tell us, and again, it's a big study back east, which I can't remember the name of, but it was it covered lots and lots of people. What they tell us is if you stay below 5, your risk of cholesterol-related heart problems is actually quite small, ma'am. And the higher you go above 5, the worse it is. So in the first place, your doctor has not read about that study. I don't know why, or she wouldn't be so scared with the 280 over 80. But people sometimes don't read the research literature. Who knows why? So that's one thing. Second thing is, you've heard me carry on in this program before about the fact that cholesterol does not cause atherosclerosis. What causes atherosclerosis is overly thick blood, which when it's too thick is abrasive at the branch points of the arteries and creates inflammation there. There's a whole book on this if you ever care to read it. It's called The Origin of Atherosclerosis. That's by Kenneth Kinsey. He was a cardiologist. He's no longer with us, but he did die of a heart disease anyway. Anyway, it creates inflammation at the branch points of arteries, and what the body does to repair that inflammation is to paste cholesterol over it. It's like plaster fixing a damaged wall. And so the real thing to do, as Kinsey points out, and has been confirmed by a study here in the United States and a study over in Finland, is to simply, after menopause, start donating blood, just like when a woman's before menopause, she's donating blood, in a manner of speaking, every month, and so her blood stays thinner. And if a premenopausal woman does not smoke or take birth control pills, her risk of getting a heart attack is about zip. You ever hear about a woman getting a heart attack at age 40? Doesn't happen, but men certainly do. So basically, the American study, 2,300 men, 1,800 women. The ones who donated blood on a regular basis had 45% less risk heart attack and stroke. And you just ask your doctor if a statin can do that good. And the study over in Finland was all men, 2,800 of them, I believe. And both were 9 to 10-year studies. And in the Finnish study, the guys who donated blood on a regular basis 3-4 times a year had, I am not kidding you, 88% less heart attack and stroke, ma'am. So
I've heard you talk about that before, and my husband and I have been trying to get ourselves into the habit of doing, both going out and donating blood together.
Sure.
We thought it would be a good date,
Yes.
We haven't started it yet, but we are going to. And the other thing I think you've mentioned is omegas, and then the turmeric, right? Or the curcumin.
Particularly omega-3 fatty acids, ma'am, because they do make the little blood platelets more slippery so that they're less likely to form a clot. You probably heard this before, too. Researchers actually found that there's different fractions. We all know this. You see it on the bottle of the fish oil. There's EPA and DHA. And what the researchers were able to prove is that the DHA fraction keeps the women's platelets more slippery, but it doesn't keep the men's platelets any more slippery than they were to start with, whereas the EPA fraction keeps the men's platelets more slippery, but it doesn't do a darn thing for the ladies. Now, all fish oil has both EPA and DHA, but Ladies want to look for the one where the DHA fraction is higher, and men want to look for one where the EPA fraction is higher, and that way we'll get more of the platelets specific for our gender oil, and that definitely keeps things more slippery, and besides that, it helps settle down inflammation in case there is any inflammation around the body.
I guess I've listened to you a lot because I remember you had said something about that, and I went and looked online to see if I could find a formula that was higher, and I really wasn't able to find one. Do you guys carry an omega for women in your?
It doesn't say on it that it's for women, but there is at least one formula in there that has more D than E. So you might even wander in and look at it, or you might look online to a dispensary and just put in DHA because that's what you're looking for, and you'll find it.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you very much for all that info.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling.